Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Thanks for taking the time. You both can hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. You are sounding good, too. Let me hit my button here, and we are rolling in 3, 2, 1. Well, if you follow politics at all, even casually, you know that we live in an era where it's hard to imagine the political divide between red and blue has ever been greater. It seems like every time you turn around, any idea that Democrats have to solve any problem, Republicans will shoot down as completely unworkable and vice versa. What if there was a way to solve the problems that we face, the serious problems that we face, by working together? Believe it or not, our next guests say there is. It's not the Republican way or the Democratic way. It is the Third Way. That is the title of their new book, The Third Way, Building Inclusive Capitalism Through Employee Ownership. And I want to make sure that I've got this right. Upendra Chivukula and Vinny Newsom are the authors of the book. And gentlemen, thank you both for taking the time. First of all, we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Chris.
So let's start with that. From the title, you talk about inclusive capitalism. Define that.
Well, you know, when you look at the wealth in America now, its top 20% have 86% of the capital wealth, and the rest of the 80% have only 14%. That means that the wealth is concentrated in very few people. So it's basically a feudalistic. And when you're looking at that, and when the migrants came to the United States a couple of centuries ago, they were fleeing that type of concentrated capitalism. And we want to see how we can make that inclusive by making more people own things, own capital, so that way we have more capitalists in a capitalistic society. And that's why it is called the Third Way. The socialism is fair but does not work. Capitalism works, but it is not fair because of the concentration of the wealth. Our founding fathers, Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison, they were worried about this thing in the 18th century because they said, if we have the wealth concentrated in few hands, what about the rest of the people? And that is exactly what is happening. When you look at one of the reports that came out from the Congressional Budget Office, which it talks about the increases that wealthy people got is 275% as compared to rest of the people like us, which is either zero or just nominal. I think that's what we wanted to address in this book. And we wanted to see broad-based ownership through employee ownership, which is supported by President Ronald Reagan, which is supported by President Abraham Lincoln in the Homestead Act, giving 168 acres to Americans to go west and make something out of that. And those days, during the Industrial Revolution, the labor proportion was 90% and the capital was 10%. In the modern world, where technology dominates, whether you have the drones and robots and the various automation, what is happening is the labor content has decreased to 10%. And mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say we were talking about that the other day. Just the report from the White House Economic Report that says even $40 an hour jobs are going to be automated in the not too distant future. So what you're talking about there certainly does ring true by the numbers that we keep hearing. And obviously, just from your response, Mr. Chivukula, it's easy to say you come out this from the blue perspective, from the Democratic perspective. Mr. Newsom, you represent. The red side of the aisle, the Republican side of the aisle. It does seem that most Republicans will concede that there is a wealth inequality. The devil's in the details in terms of what to do about it.
Yes, Chris. And here's the challenge to my friends, is we just don't see any of the, I know they're coming your way. I have not seen one of my Republican colleagues talk about the capital side. And Penner just laid it out very eloquently. Most of the wealth is being driven by capital wealth. Does anyone out there think that Donald Trump is punching a clock? I mean, give me a break, will you please? Most of his wealth is coming from capital wealth. People don't need to understand that. And let me tell you something, Chris. Every millionaire and billionaire in your audience already knows what's in the Third Way book. They already know it. It's the poor and middle class that do not, and they're getting slaughtered here. For example, Travis Smiley, who you know, a very well-known African-American, was on MSNBC just the other day on Morning Joe, and he said, and I quote, "It pains me to say this, but in the last 10 years, the bottom has dropped out for black America during the Obama presidency." Now, this is a very liberal commentator. So what they're saying is that they did, and now the answer is not in the minimum wage. How pathetic in the greatest nation on earth that we're focusing on the minimum wage. We should be focusing on maximum capital accumulation. The minimum wage has been raised 29 times. The federal minimum wage has been raised, and the problem's gotten worse. You're not going to solve this problem with another hour or two, of chump change. You've got to get wealth into the hands of the people. Here's our proposal. Let's get it right down here. All my Republican colleagues are saying you got to cut the corporate tax rate. Absolutely. We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world at 35%. It's causing what's called corporate inversion. You'll hear Donald Trump talk about that. That means companies leaving the United States, corporate inversion. Cut that corporate tax rate. But here's the Republican talking. Not one dime unless you share it with equity with the workers. And in these inner cities, cut the corporate tax rate to zero, but you have to share with the people living in those communities. Now, I live in suburbia, Basking Ridge, one of the wealthiest counties in the country, but I grew up on the tough streets of Newark, New Jersey. I understand the hood. You have to change the culture there, and that's by giving people a piece of the rock, giving them ownership. Penner's right. Our founding fathers knew this. Abraham Lincoln knew this. And we've lost our way. Would you please, I'm begging you, to ask the presidential candidates what they're going to do to get capital directly in the hands of the average working American. Not trickle down, but the direct policies that are advocating this book.
This is the key in this. When you talk about getting capital into the hands of average Americans, of the working class, too often that comes across as sounding like we're going to give handouts.
No. I think the idea here is that we are creating incentives for corporations, private and public, to share the wealth with their employees. President Ronald Reagan is a very strong supporter of this idea. And you have Governor Terry Branstad in Iowa. He had a state legislation that he signed into law where you are helping out the mom-and-pop shops. And, for example, if the mom-and-pop shops are retiring, they sell those companies to their employees, and they get the tax break for doing that. I think the idea here is that when nobody's mandating, and this is an incentive-based program, that creating a piece of the action for the employee.
Now, Chris, listen, this is not some wild idea. There, people don't realize this. There's already 10,000 companies and nearly 15 million Americans already benefiting like this. They're doing fine, but that's less than 2 to 3% of the total population. We can blow this wide open and solve the whole problem in one presidential term. Let me give you some of the names of the companies that are doing this. This is what built Silicon Valley. By the way, companies like Microsoft, Apple, Google, old line companies like Procter & Gamble, IBM, Johnson & Johnson, General Motors, Ford, UPS, Amazon, I can go on, Morgan Stanley, Cargo, the largest private company, ExxonMobil, Bloomberg, Fidelity, Southwest Airlines, it goes on, Whole Foods, it goes on. But fine. How about the rest of the population?
So you're talking about, when you say sharing the wealth, you're talking about sharing in ownership, not taking away from one to give to the other and redistribution of wealth.
Bingo. Bingo, Chris. Can you please share your knowledge with the people that are coming? And John Kasich, I love him. I'm a hardcore Republican. But we've got to get the discussion of capital onto the radar screen. And yeah.
So here's the thing, though, and not to interrupt, but here's the thing, though. It makes sense, but can you legislate that?
Yes, I mean, it was legislated before. There was a legislation where you were giving 50% tax cut for the interest income made by the banks. The banks have loan money to corporations to set up employee stock ownership plans, and they were getting on the interest income, they were getting 50% back. I think that was already there. And also there are, one of the things we are suggesting, there are two things we are suggesting in the book, is that the America's corporate tax rate is 35%, which is highest in the world. If you can cut that to 50% with the condition that only that money, that 50% tax credit, only you'll get it only when you share that with the employees. And in the urban areas, you give 100% cut, and making sure that the investments flow into the urban areas and the rural areas, poor areas, and give the employee ownership and also grow the economy. You can also apply corporate inversion. I mean, Pfizer is trying to invert the company, want to become an Irish company. They are employees, headquarters are here, and they want to avoid paying the taxes. And there are so many tax loopholes that we have to address that, and I think this is one way to do that.
Yes, there's a potential disaster coming, Chris. Can I just say something very briefly?
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like what you're talking about are targeted tax cuts, and there is your compromise between, yes, we do have to make tax cuts, and yes, we do have to get more employee ownership, according to what you're laying out here in the book. So the compromise is targeted tax cuts. And I guess that was what I was going to say. What happens if we don't come up with and implement these types of plans like what you lay out in the book? I mean, what lies ahead if we continue down the path that we are currently on?
Oh, Chris, you are a smart man. Mark this day on your calendar. And let me just back up to what Dupendra said. We had those incentives. We're already on the books for banks to make these low-interest loans. All the companies were opening up offices to start to do this. And Bush 41 and the Clinton administration, Bush cut it in half, Clinton eliminated it. And who was behind the whole thing? The chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, the late Dan Rostenkowski. You remember Dan Rostenkowski, the guy who went to jail, okay? You talk about the dumbest public policy in the history of the United States. That was it, Chris. And let me tell you right now, if you don't do what's in this book the third way, this is not a threat, it's a promise. What happened in Baltimore will look like a day at the beach. The country's being ripped apart, not like a bed sheet. It'll be like the rails of a train being ripped apart, rail by rail by rail, as labor and capital are being disconnected. There are massive tectonic forces. We lay this out right in the book that are happening here, and that are very powerful. We've got an 18th century economic system in a 21st century world. And don't expect your local politicians to have the solution. They don't even know what the problem is. Please educate them, Chris.
I'm wondering, and just kind of as a philosophical type thing, when you came together to put this book together, The Third Way, were you surprised at all, the two of you, I'll throw this out for both of you, were you surprised at all how many areas you really kind of found agreement on? Because, again, we think these days that the parties have never been further apart, and yet it seems as though, hearing both of you talk, that we actually may be closer, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, we may be closer than we think. We just, I don't know what it is that's keeping us from finding that last middle ground.
One thing that is holding us back is that our selfish interests. If we only think about the American public, every candidate talks about, I care about the people, I am for the people, but what is happening is that self-interest, getting elected next time, pleasing the leadership, making sure I'm positioned for the next higher position, this is what keeping us back. I think if we can really crawl around the issue and around the issues that are affecting the middle class and the poor class, and I think we can work together.
Yes. Chris, you just heard from the smartest, most politician in the country. I'm proud. He's a Democrat. I'm proud that he's my co-author. And he is not my enemy. And I'm about as hardcore Republican as it gets. This is my brother, my fellow American. And did you hear him quoting from Washington, Jefferson, Madison? Here's someone who came to the country from India. He knows more about the founding fathers than the people running for president right now. Let me give you a quote here, Chris. It went like this. America will be the greatest land in the country for people of industry and frugality, possessed of moderate capital and property in the world. George Washington. This is not a new idea, Chris. We have lost our way. Thomas Jefferson. Legislators cannot invent too many ways to subdivide property. They understood this. Lincoln understood this. Yeah. If you go to our website, you'll actually even see President Ronald Reagan and Bernie Sanders giving we have the archives of their speeches, essentially endorsing this idea. But now, of course, Bernie goes too far on the rest of it, but this idea is a bipartisan idea that's proven to work.
I don't mean to jump in and interrupt, but we are flat out of time. The book is called The Third Way, Building Inclusive Capitalism Through Employee Ownership. It really hits in on these buzzwords of the day, income inequality. And you mentioned you do have a website where folks can learn more about the book.
Yes, it's called thethirdwaybook.com, the number 3, thethirdwaybook.com. It's crashed 3 times. We've been inundated, Chris. We've now got it up to where we can handle the load, but this is sweeping the country. Please, they're coming your way. Ask the presidential candidates how they're going to get capital wealth, which is what's driving inequality, into the hands of the average American. What they need to do is read the book. Save the country, save the world, save yourself and your family. Learn what's in this book, or you will be run over in the 21st century.
We will link up to it on our webpage. Folks will check that out online. Upendra Chivukula and Vinny Musum, the co-authors of The Third Way, with us this morning. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Great job, Chris.
All right, I think we've got it. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.